Oh, all right. So first of all, sponsorship. Sponsorship this evening. The Chalent, the Shir, is sponsored by the Bienenfeld family. I was reluctant to actually put this in the email because I didn't know that it was really going to happen. But it is in honor and appreciation of all those who worked so hard to see us to this great event, this momentous occasion. We closed on our new building today, which is very, very exciting. Mazel tov. And Mirtz Hashem, we should fill the new building with this continued Torah and Tefillah, Chesed and the like, as we have with this building, grown out of this building. Our neshama has grown out of this building, so we needed a new guf. So Mirtz Hashem, learning tonight should be a portent of the future, and it should continue to inspire us for more learning in the future in the new building. So yeah. Shukach to everybody who was involved, both directly and indirectly. Shir number three. So we're talking tonight about solids and liquids, the nature of that tarovis, and really the final point here is going to have some much broader ramifications than just that particular type of tarovis. But the most basic question is that a tarovis in the first place? Can that serve as a tarovis? We discussed last week that a tarovis, to no small degree, is sort of, in the eye of the beholder. That doesn't mean that any individual has the right to go around saying, that doesn't really look like a tarovis to me. We took stock and we took great caution in the words of the Truma Sadeshin, who says that effectively, without a raya brura, without an absolute clear indication that something is not a tarovis, you need to assume that really it is a tarovis. Nevertheless, perhaps when it comes to solids and liquids in the first place, this is something that shouldn't really bother us, and this is something that should immediately be perceived really by everybody across the board in an objective capacity, at least an objective halachic capacity, maybe is really not being a tarovis or a mixture in the first place. So right off the bat, we can assess that this is simply not so. There are really a number of se'ifim here in the Simin Shin Yates, which we've been dealing with in the Shulchan Aruch, where he deals with Borer, and beginning really probably Sif Tes is maybe the first where we see this most clearly. And Sif Tes of Shin Yotes, the Mechaber says as follows, Mishamaras afilu tuliyah me'erev Shabbos, Aser litin ba'shamarim. If there's some sort of, probably like a cheesecloth or that kind of thing, and it's hung, it's suspended even before Shabbos, you can't put dregs of wine in this kind of filter sort of cloth. Aval imnasan bashmar me erev Shabbos. But if you put them there on erev Shabbos, if you have the dregs that have absorbed and still are holding on to a fair measure of wine, and you put it into the cheesecloth or into that filter before Shabbos, then mutar litain alehem mayim. You could pour water over it. Kadei sheyachzaru tzalulim lazuv. So that what ultimately pours out is the same liquid. So what you start off with is liquid on top, and that's going to pick up some of the wine along the way. The impression that you get, though, aside from the heter that he has at the end, that you have these dregs, right, the grape matter that still contains some measure of wine, or is holding or concealing some measure of wine within it, within that clump. So that aside, we have this heter that you can pour water directly over that, catch whatever comes out the other end, and you can do that even on Shabbos. What you can't do is put the dregs into the cheesecloth on Shabbos itself. Why? What's the problem? Effectively, what you're separating is liquids from solids. Right? What you're going to be separating are the actual wine that's going to drip out from the solid grape particles, the solid grape matter that you're actually putting on top of the cloth or on top of the filter. That is problematic. And the next number of se'ifim deal with things that are going to be caught up or bound up in some kind of liquid medium that effectively creates a tarovis. So absolutely and unequivocally, you could potentially run into a problem of a tarovis when you're dealing with solids and liquids. Having said that,
is that okay because you started before Shabbos? Is it okay because you didn't do it on Shabbos?
Is okay because effectively, meaning what the heter at the end about pouring the water through?
Yeah, like the...
So the problem is if I start off with what is already a tarovis and put it into a cloth or into a filter, I'm utilizing the filter, which we know to be a kli, which is problematic. Right. We're using that kli to then filter out the good from the bad. What I want from what I don't want. That's a problem. That's not biyad. right? You're making use of the kli. If it was already there, so then what the Shulchan Aruch is basically saying is that by pouring the water through, that's in no way creating a new ta'aroves that you're then separating out afterwards. You're starting off with clear liquid at the top, you're pouring it directly through, you end up catching that same liquid effectively in the end, and that's not a problem.
You're pouring it through the cloth.
For what
purpose?
To get like this, you know, grape infused or wine infused water, right? Then instead of just having, let's say, or maybe you're pouring even wine directly through, and it's going to pick up that much more flavor along the way. More on that in a little bit. When we get to the end, we'll actually see. Maybe we'll see the Mishnah Berurah inside here. It might be relevant for
people. Put like the satchel thing in the chunk that has like the stuff that they take out.
Right. So when you pull it out, what's inside? Saying like a cheesecloth inside of a. So the question is that entire bag? Is that entire bag really psolus? Right, you're then removing from that could be an issue.
Right.
How you go about removing it? Probably better off just leaving it there and kind of working around it. Okay, so this is exactly what we're going to get to in a little bit, right? This becomes, and this is why I say that when you start dealing with some of these items that might be floating in liquids, you get to a far, far more broad ramification of what a ta'aruves is and how you end up dealing with it and what you can do in order to be able to get rid of what you don't want, maybe along with some of the things that you do want. Is that acceptable? Is that not acceptable? That really all stems from this issue, right? This issue of whether or not in the first place we consider something solid to be floating in liquid to actually be a ta'aruves or not. So suffice it to say that yes, at least potentially it is. Remember what we spoke about last week, that it really depends on what it looks like. So consider just the number of possibilities. Let's say you have, and this is something that's discussed in one of the earlier, more contemporary Hilchos Shabbos Svarim. This is an example of Brunch Shvisas Shabbos. What if you have a hard-boiled egg floating in water? Is that a ta'aroves? It certainly seems distinct. It seems like it should be separated. What about pickles? Pickles in brine. Olives in brine, right? Keep getting smaller and smaller, and you can imagine this becomes more and more similar to a ta'aroves, right? When we get to the point of having tiny little grape particles that contain or conceal actual wine within that clump, so we understand that that's a ta'aroves. At what point do you get there? It's hard exactly to determine, but you understand that there may well be a difference between, let's say, hard-boiled egg or three or four hard-boiled eggs floating in water as opposed to, let's say, much smaller particles that are floating in some sort of liquid. Lots of items to discuss in that capacity. So first and foremost, so egg in water, by the way, a number of these issues are brought up by the Sefer Orchos Shabbos. So a number of these that I'm going to get into. Before we actually do that, it's probably worth just seeing one other item. This is interesting. Just noting that as much as clearly the Shulchan Aruch is working with this idea that a solid floating, or solid, I'm sorry, I don't want to even say floating, but that a solid mixed with a liquid very much is a ta'aroves, that's not necessarily true according to everybody in every situation. Meaning, and I'll give you an example. So the Be'er Heitev, at the very, very beginning of this siman, Shin Yud Tes, Sif Katan Beis, actually quotes one particular opinion otherwise. He writes, we're talking about, this is going to become very relevant later. What happens if you, let's say, get some sort of creepy crawly thing, fly, wasp, or something that lands in a cup of wine? Sorry. Just as you were about to take a sip.
No. That happened.
Just happened.
That happened at my cousin's, my wife's cousin's, I was an engagement party.
Oh boy.
And there it was.
So what do you do?
Yeah, really.
Well, we'll talk about what you actually do in a little bit, but it's worth noting that the Be'er Heitev notes, that at least according to one opinion, you don't really need to do much. He says you could take the fly right out. Just pluck it right out. This is the Be'er Heitev Sifkatan Beis, towards the end of that Sifkatan. He says, why? De'ein Breira Bilach. because there is no such thing as boer when it comes to liquids. What he's talking about is separating a solid from a liquid. Vegan es hatzira yishalach deloshayach breira elamash shetzarich lefash pesh v'livror, that we can only talk about breira when you're talking about actually trying to, where you need to perform some sort of act to pluck this unwanted item out from amongst the rest of the wanted items, or against the wanted landscape, let's say. Here's really the kicker. Something that floats to the top, kvar baruhu v'havile k'mashchil b'nisa mechalava de'ein zed borer. Something that's already floated to the top and is so clearly nicker, it's so clearly recognizable as being distinct and is being set apart from the rest of the landscape, the rest of that liquid medium, that's not a tarovis in the first place. So what would you do if you wanted to remove the fly from the wine? You would remove the fly from the wine. It's not considered to be a tarovis in the first place. Just to be clear, first of all, this opinion is largely rejected by the Achronim, something that the Be'er Halacha speaks about later on in this very siman. He says that we don't paskin like this, we don't hold this way. We assume that it absolutely would be a tarovis, it would be considered a mixture, but it's worth noting that even according to this opinion, why is it not a mixture? Because it has floated to the top. So even the opinion that holds that we can be makil holds that that's the case when they naturally separate from one another. But if we're dealing with things that, let's say, don't really float in the first place, or that there are so many of them that they start to become submerged beneath the weight or the mass of how many of them you have, so then that would be a different problem altogether. That would certainly be considered a tarovis, at least seemingly, according to everybody. And that's where we get into some of these other items. Again, these are examples that are brought by the Sefer Orchel Shabbos, quoting a variety of different sources himself. But most of them really are predicated even on what we spoke about last week. So let's talk about an egg in water, certainly, or at least seemingly, not a tarovis. It is so easily distinguishable, so clearly separate. And more than that, if you recall, last week we spoke about the shiloh that was posed to Rav Nissim Karelitz with respect to a utensil, right, that becomes submerged into a pot of challah, right? So if we have this right here, if this was a piece of food, and so you have the challah as food, and then you have the utensil as food, and the utensil is sitting at like an angle, one piece of food from another piece of food, is that a tarovis? Sure. It's exactly what the Trumas Hadeshin was talking about. When he said that you have different types of fish that are arranged on a platter together, they're in close proximity to one another, and that close proximity is sufficient in order to say that they are a tarovis, even though they're easily and readily distinguishable from one another. What Rav Nissim Karelitz was saying was that a utensil, a tool, a ladle, doesn't look like it really has anything to do with the challah. They're just not the kinds of things that we group together. When we look at a pot of challah, we see a ladle and we see challah. When we look at a plate of food, we see a plate of food. And that's a very, very important distinction. Got to be very careful about how we wield that distinction and how we go about applying it. We don't want to go about applying it in our own subjective sort of way, but nevertheless, there is a very, very important distinction to be made there. He talks also about, you know, what happens if we spoke about this, only if it becomes completely submerged so that you really don't see it at all anymore, then you might say that it really is a tarovis. But otherwise, it just doesn't appear to really be mixed. It looks like challah with a ladle sticking out of it, food with a fork sticking up out of it. So in a similar way, we would say that what we see is we see water and we see eggs floating in it, but not that it's really a mixture. The smaller you get and the more compacted the actual solid matter becomes, the more problematic it is. Yeah, Mordechai.
Practically speaking, what Lee was saying kind of, you know, makes sense, that no matter, maybe when it gets really, really small, but in most instances, no matter how big or small the item is that you're taking out of a liquid, you're always going to take some liquid out with it, and then, which is good along with the good, and therefore, practically speaking, is there ever really an issue?
Well, you're always taking out, remember, you're taking out the liquid along with the, aside from that, that heter, we'll have to see how, if and how that heter is applied. But in the case of, let's say, removing a pickle from the brine, I don't know that that's really the case, right? I'm not necessarily, unless, if I'm not using a spoon, then I'm probably not drawing any liquid out along with whatever solid I'm pulling out. But at any rate, I think really to your point, what you're pulling out is the good from the bad. Meaning if I'm pulling the pickle out of the brine, what I want is a pickle. I don't want the brine.
This is always something you're just going to be out.
So what difference does it make? The difference is, what about me? What about, first of all, using a kli? And second of all, what about not doing so miad? Meaning, could I arrange pickles on a serving platter before I go off to shul, so that I'm not really going to come to eat it until much later? So it really depends. If you say that it's not really a tarovis in the first place because it's so, so distinguishable, right? It's so clearly a pickle and brine as opposed to pickles and brine, right? It's not like, it's not a challenge. It's not a bowl of soup. We even talk about a bowl of soup in a little bit. But if you say that it's not a tarovis and you have nothing to worry about, if you say that it is a tarovis, it's got to be miad. Got to be miad, even though you're separating the good from the bad. Another issue is, what about using a slotted spoon? Slotted spoon is really a kli used for borer. So if you say that it's a ta'arovis in the first place, then how am I rescuing the pickles or the olives or whatever from the liquid, from the brine? If I'm using a kli, that's really not biyad anymore. So true, granted, typically you'll be rescuing the the good from the bad, but even as you do so, you still have to be conscious of miyad and biyad. By the way, one other thing to consider, it's just happened to me. Usually we like to leave a little bit of brine, at least enough basically to cover it, because we want to try to like preserve whatever it is that's still left. As you get to the bottom though, or if you're using the entire container, what are you more likely to do? Spill off the brine. Just spill off the brine. Spill off the liquid. Spill off whatever liquid it came in, and then just utilize the good that's left over. That has potential to actually be psoles mitoch ochel if you say that it's a tarovis. If it's not a tarovis in the first place, you have nothing to worry about. So let's say you have a bunch of hard-boiled eggs in a Ziploc bag, and you have water in it, right, in order to keep them moist, and you don't want them to dry out or whatever. So could I just open up the little tip of the Ziploc bag and pour out all the liquid, and then keep the eggs in the bag, and maybe even, I don't know, turn them into egg salad right in the bag or whatever, just to be able to get rid of the liquid. I don't want to get my hands all wet or whatever. So if it's not a tarovis, which it likely isn't, so that would be acceptable. If it is a tarovis, then you really couldn't do that.
So water in a can of tuna, on the other hand.
So let's get smaller and smaller. Pickles. So pickles, probably not a tarovis. I want to come back to pickles in a little bit. Pickles, probably not a tarovis. So we've got Israeli pickles. So it depends how much you spent. For Shabbos, sometimes we like to splurge. You get the super duper mini, right? You go from right there, the big ones, it's like $1.50 for a can of big, 7 to 9 per, plus Tosefet, Esrim Achuz, whatever, right? They give you a little extra bit at the top of the can, and it's like a funny looking shape. It's like off center. So it's like 8 to 10, and then you go a little bit lower and you get the medium ones, and it's 11 to 15. Super duper mini. They're 40,000 stuck into that can. The smaller you get, the more it starts to look like a tarovis. But really, more than anything, this is just what it. This is. I didn't see this inside anywhere, but it seems to me that it also depends on the arrangement of the container and the size of the container. Meaning to say, as follows: if you get smaller and smaller, so you talk about, let's say, like a can of olives or a jar of olives. It seems to be a tarovis, right? Especially as you first open it. It is jam-packed with olives, and then they just fill it in with brine to kind of fill in all the cracks. Go a little bit smaller. What about a can of corn? By the way, we're not even having a discussion about how you open a can, and is there a way to open a can, and that's for another time, and Mirza Shem will get there. But a can of corn. A can of corn for sure is a tarovis. But again, you have these thousands of little corn niblets, and then it's all filled up with water. Certainly it's a tarovis, and you have to deal with it appropriately. Meaning, ochel mitoch psoles. It needs to be biyad, and needs to be miyad. So no slotted spoons. Needs to be for immediate use. And needs to be that you're grabbing the corn, not that you're just pouring off or draining off the liquid. Now, if that's the case, then so climb back up the ladder a little bit. If you have Ziploc bag, brine, two pickles inside of it. That's not a tarubas. What if you have a huge, like when we do the barbecue, right? What if you have a massive drum, like a compound bucket, right? Full of pickles, filled to the top with brine. Is that not a tarubas? I don't know. Now they're all stuffed in there, and then it's like topped off with brine. It's just on a much larger scale, but it doesn't really have a different look fundamentally than, let's say, a can of corn. It's just that you need a massive container in order to be able to get to that point. But let's say you do. You're making a sheva brachos, bar mitzvah, kiddush. You're a caterer, whatever it is. That seemingly would be an issue of a tarovas. And again, you just have to proceed with caution. Not that it couldn't be done. But miyad biyad, ochel mitoch psolos, as we always say, means no slotted spoons and the like.
Herring,
yeah, absolutely, herring. I think the same deal. So what does it mean? It just means spear it with a fork, put it on your kichel for now, right, to eat right now. And again, and you're taking, and we wouldn't spill off the brine. Herring's just a little bit easier to deal with because for the most part, it's like single serve, for the most part, right? And like you never pour up, they're so small, such small containers. I find this with olives, right? Olive, you get a big jar like the Spanish olives. Yeah. So as you use them up, I like spill off some of the brine, and it's like it's a work in progress, you know? And then after like 3 weeks, you finally finish the whole jar of olives, and you're very proud of yourself. You make a seum, you invite people over. It's like very exciting. You feel this incredible sense of accomplishment. That was such a big, wow, I bought it 3 weeks ago. It looked like such a big jar of olives, and now here we are. I never thought I'd see the day. Yeah, Costco style. Yeah, everything's a three-pack. So herring's a little bit easier to deal with just because it's small enough. You know, you don't usually pour off the brine until you're done. You're usually spearing it with like a fork as opposed to a slotted spoon. But in theory, same deal. If it was one of those big, you know, like the Vita, you know, herring jars, so you'd have the same issue. Okay, what would you say about? We spoke a little bit about a bowl of soup. I think the past couple of weeks. What would you say about a bowl of soup? Bowl of soup. You have big things floating in your soup. Chicken soup. Is chicken soup a tarubas?
It was in the first week.
I'm gonna have to be chozer, I think, on what I said. No. So okay, but let's dissect it a little bit more. Although that's flattering for me.
I guess myself. Not a tarubas.
Oh. See, I used to be like, when I was in yeshiva, that used to be Friday night chicken soup. It was like Friday night chicken soup from the caterer. And it was a massive matzo ball with absolutely crystal clear broth all around it. I'm not certain that soup ever actually met a chicken. I don't know that they were the least bit acquainted with one another. It knew Yellow 5 very, very well. I don't know that it knew that it had ever met a chicken. Like during Kaparas. Certainly not a Tarovis. Depending on, let's just talk about the extremes. That would be one pole. You have clear broth with just a couple of items floating in it. That's not a Tarovis. That'd be like the hard-boiled egg. And let's say you have...
We would talk about the chicken and the bone, right? If someone pulls the chicken and comes...
Oh, right, okay.
You have the same issue if you have the eggs in the bag and someone pulls the egg and someone pulls the bag.
You have a mess.
No. The egg is hard boiled.
Egg is hard boiled, and you pull the bag, and what? Ziploc bag full of liquid.
No. You just have there's no liquid in it.
What else do you? There's no liquid. Oh. So it's just a container?
Because there's a separate thing.
Not a tarubas. Not a tarubas if it's just a container. I thought you were saying.
It's like a baggie.
Yeah, I thought you were saying it's like full of liquid. Yeah. I'm like, well, it's gonna be a mess.
You smell the tarubas.
What if you have
the shell might be it.
So let's talk about the other pole, about the other end of the other extreme. The other extreme would be something like challah, right? Like a really thick stew, which is certainly a tarobes, right? It's true that there might be some broth, but for the most part, the broth becomes completely intermingled and bound up with all the solid matter, all the solid particles that you have in the soup or in the stew or whatever. So what happens when you have things in between? All I can say is, you know, proceed with caution. If it's a particularly loose composition, if it's a particularly loose soup, it's basically clear broth with just a couple things floating in it, it may well not even be a taroves. But if it's more thick, if it's a thicker broth that sort of clings and binds all the different solid items together, that would be more problematic for sure.
To go back to the first week where we said if you consider something solus and something not solus.
Okay.
So if, let's say, you just look at the chult as like, this is just chult, you that as is, would there be anything separable about it?
Well, yes, in the sense that, I mean, look, if you go about eating it and you just eat it, then these things never comes into play in the first place. But if you start to consider, the reality is that it's not just chalent. It's meat and it's barley and it's beans and it's broth and it's potatoes and it's onions. If you do start to separate them out, that becomes, you know, if I say that I'm, yeah, you know what, I've had enough meat, and that's how I'm separating it, then that's a real issue of bor. If I say that I davka want the meat, but I'm going to pull it out, I'm going to save it for later, it's also a problem. If I say that I'm going to fish out the meat with, let's say, a slotted spoon in order to let everything else kind of fall to the bottom, then that could also be a problem because I'm really not using my hand anymore. I'm really using the kli. Okay, so as far as trying to expand the parameters of this a little bit, it's worth noting where this issue of the fly, originally comes from. So it seems that the Taz is one of the first to bring up this idea that if you have a fly that falls, it's a Taz here, it's in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, I believe in Shin Yud Tes. So he says as follows: what happens if you have, again, fly falls into a cup of wine? Is it a Ta'aroves? The Taz says yes, that's a Ta'aroves. So what should you do? What you should do is you shouldn't just remove the fly. When you remove the fly, you should take out some of the wine also. And that's it.
How much?
How much? Good question. So how much? Doesn't say. He says you should take out some of the wine. And basically, I mean, I was going to do a photocopy of the Taz, but it's almost verbatim. I mean, it doesn't say much more than the Mishnah Berurah who quotes him. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Samach Aleph. So here's what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. Here's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you have, let's say, wine that has some kind of worms floating in it, Sif Tes Zayin. So this is Shin Yud Tes Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch. Maim Sheish Behem Tola'im, New York City water. You have water with worms floating in them. Mutar L'shtosan Ayedei Mapa B'Shabbos. You could drink it through a cloth on Shabbos. D'lo Shayich Borer U'Mishamer Ela B'Misakein Ha'inyin Kodem Achila Oshtia. What is Borer? Borer is when you separate prior to the Achila. If you're actually eating it directly, certainly, that, remember, the Heter in Borer is if you can make it Derech Achila. If you're mamish eating or actually drinking, then it's certainly not borer. What's he talking about? Basically, you have a cup of water, put a little washcloth over the top or a hanky or something, and you drink directly through it. He says that's certainly derech achila. The issue of borer is only when you separate it into a vessel to then be able to, let's say, drink it afterwards.
Clean, though? A special clean to
separate? Maybe, but it's not borer in the first place. It's not borer in the first place. Meaning to say as follows. When do we talk about miyad biyad ochel mitoch psoles? That is in order to give whatever borer you're doing the form, the tzura of derech achila. And if it looks more like derech achila than it does like borer, then it's acceptable. If you're actually eating, if you're actually drinking, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. Meaning, if I have a I think we mentioned this before for all the youngsters at the table. When I was a bacher, watermelon used to have seeds. I know this is surprising. Stay with me on this. So if you can imagine that there used to be seeds in watermelon. Now, what do I do? How do I get the seeds out of the watermelon? Well, you could pick around it. I could pick out a little bit of watermelon flesh, and that way it's ochel from psoles, and it's miyad, and it's biyad. Okay, let's say I actually put the watermelon in my mouth. And while it's in my mouth, I take a bite, and oh, there are seeds in there, and I spit out the seeds. So what is that? That's solas mitov ochel. There's ochel in my mouth, and I'm spitting seeds out. That's absolutely mutter. That's actual achila. That's actually how we eat. So you don't need to get so embroiled in the three criteria if what you're actually doing is eating, and that's really what the Mechaber is talking about. The point that the Mishnah Brura here makes. So, here's what the Mishnah Brura says. El b'masakin, only if you prepare it ahead of time. He says, therefore, in terms of preparing, let's say, a glass or a drink ahead of time, he says, alken kishenofel zvuv odover acher b'machal umashkef. Let's say a fly falls into ma'achal or mashke, falls onto food or falls into a drink. Lo yasir hazvuv bein biyad bein bekli. You should not separate the fly neither by hand nor with a kli. Dahave borer psoles mi ochel, because that would be separating psoles from ochel. That would be separating the unwanted from the wanted. Rather, what should you do? El yikach ktsas gam mehamachal o hamashke imo. You should take a little bit. How much is a little bit? I don't know. Mishnah Brura doesn't exactly say. Some say it has to be a little bit more than normal, more than usual. But you take out some of the wine along with it, you take out some of the chalent along with it, and you throw it out, and then shalom al Yisrael. And then everything's fine. Then it's okay. Then it's no longer a problem. Great. Wonderful. What did the Mishnah Brura just say? Again, if you take this at face value, ostensibly, and this is how some poskim understand this, and certainly the Mishnah Brura, without giving any further explanation, birur, framing of this halacha from the Taz, sounds like he's saying this follows. Why is that mutter? Why is it okay to do that? Basically, what I'm saying is that this fly amongst the chalent creates a tyroves. This bowl is no longer just, let's say this is just broth. This bowl is no longer strictly broth. It's now a tyroves of broth and fly. What gives me the right to pick up the fly along with some of the extra broth and separate it? Well, that's not really, this is at least how some learn, that's not really removing psoles from ochel. That's really taking a sampling of the tyroves itself, which in effect is really like removing ochel from ochel. If I was only removing the fly, so then that would be a removal, a retrieval of psoles from ochel, that's borer. But if I'm taking some of the broth or some of the wine along with the fly, really I'm separating ochel from ochel.
But it's psoles because you don't want it.
You grew up in Bnei Brak? No? You have a certain, there's a certain angle there. Good point. This is the point that the Chazon Ish makes. Okay, so... So just before we jump there.
Like you said, it's still a mixture.
What's still a mixture? What I removed.
You took the liquid with the fly.
Right, so I removed like basically a cross sampling of the actual mixture, and I've separated it and I've isolated it, and now what happens to be left behind is all good stuff that I'm now going to want to eat. But what I removed, I didn't really remove psoles from ochel. I removed ochel with a little bit of psoles from ochel. And that's not borer. That's acceptable. And that's what's going on. The Chazon Ish has a totally different approach. Totally different approach. And this has huge, huge implications. Let's take a look at the Chazon Ish inside. We'll read at least some of it. Maybe we'll say the rest outside. This is just the beginning of Simin Nun Gimel and Aruch Chaim. Here's what he says. Taz Simin Shin Yud Tes Sif Katan Yud Gimel. So he's quoting our Taz that we're discussing. Kosav, he writes as follows. Dichshenot el zvuv o davar acher. If let's say a fly or something else falls bekos into a cup, lo yotzi on levadon, don't take it out on its own. Ela yikach ktsas min hamashke imahem. Take out a little bit of the liquid along with it. So not just the fly, but fly plus wine. Ube be'er hetev, this is the be'er hetev that we saw at the beginning. Sham sif katan aleph, kosav, b'shem maharitz, shemutr lahasir hatsira min hakos. It's mutter to take out the wasp from the cup of wine. The davar shetzach kvar barur va'omedhu. It's like it's already separated. You don't have to worry about anything. You could just take out the wasp or the fly directly because it's not really tarovis to begin with. V'chein mutter l'mashchil b'nisa mechalba, and therefore it's also mutter to remove a hair from a saucer of milk.
We don't.
But that effectively is this machlokas, it seems, being set up between the Taz and the Maharitz. That the question is it a Taharovas in the first place? The Taz says, indeed, it is a Taharovas, and you have to deal with it accordingly. And the way that you deal with it is by removing not only the Psolas, but some of the Ochel along with the Psolas. The Kosa of the Mishnah Berurah Dekein Hiskim Beis Meir. Now, Yesh Lahach Mir Kahataz. The Beis Meir apparently paskins like that Maritz. He's Mekel. He says that it's not a Taharovas in the first place. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's actually a Bir Halacha. It's not the Mishnah Berurah. But in the Bir Halacha, he says you got to be careful and you got to be Machmir like the Taz. Assume that it is a Taharovas. It's not so problematic. What you do is you just remove the fly along with some of the liquid as well. Vehine, had the hatir hataz below keach ktsas min amashka imat sarachiyin. He says, you really think about it, what's going on? Why does the Taz say that that's okay? The way you deal with it is by removing some of the wine. You're still removing psoles from ochel. This is what I don't want. And now I have this beautiful crystal clear cup of wine that I'm going to enjoy because I've removed the fly. So what that I removed the fly along with some of the other wine? You're not allowed to do that, right? So this like heter that we all just like say, oh yeah, everybody knows you could always just take a little bit of the entire taharovas and you can remove it. The Chazon Ish was saying, presumably that's totally usher, right? You can't just say that because I don't want something that's here, let me take this out along with some of the rest of the taharovas as well. I don't want the fly there, or I don't want the potato there. You're not allowed to remove a potato because the potato would be considered psoles. So fine, I'll take some of the beans and some of the meat out along with the potato, and then it's not going to be considered borer. Chazon Ish says, of course that's borer. Of course it's borer. You want a potato-free bowl of chalent. So you remove the potato. You removed it along with a couple of beans. You removed it along with some of the, I don't know, broth. You removed it with some of the meat. You removed it with an onion. So that's not borer? Of course it's borer. So why is it that removing the fly with a little bit of liquid suddenly makes it borer free? He says, "Kol shadaito, as long as al ha'ochel hanishar." What you want is the remaining food. Shehe barur, that it be selected, that it be free of this undesired item. Ela she'eno chash ledakdek shelo ya'al lema'at min ha'ochel im ha'psolos. Okay, so he wasn't so careful. So he's more than happy to have some of the ochel go off along with the psolos. But what's the whole purpose of this exercise? To create a bowl that is pest-free, fly-free, potato-free. And I've accomplished that. Why isn't that not borer? Vachinami, hari pu'ulaso mochicha, his activity is proven alav. She'en kavanoso l'chalik ha'mashkele beis kelim. His idea, his goal, it's not sheva brachos. He's not just trying to pour the wine into two different cups. Eladaita, what's his purpose? What does he have in mind? What's his kavana? L'nakos es hakos min hazvov. He wants to clear the fly out of the cup. How does it make it any less of a malacha by taking along some of the wine? The whole purpose was only to remove the fly after all. Certainly the Maharitz is correct. Really, that it's not considered to be borer in the first place. It's only considered borer if it's really completely mixed. And by means of removing the undesired item, now I'm preparing or I'm perfecting, I'm being misaken, whatever it is that's left. The Chazon Ish goes on to say something really extraordinary. He says that really the Maharitz and the Taz are not really at opposite ends. They're not really at polar ends of this argument. Really, they're really close to one another. The Maharitz says it's not considered a Taharovas in the first place. The Taz says you're almost right. And this is how the Chazon Ish explains it. The Taz says, where is the Taharovas? I told you that if a fly were to land in this bowl of broth, then what I now have is instead of a bowl of broth, I have a bowl that is a Taharovas of broth plus fly. Chazon Ish says, no, that's not what you have. What you have is a bowl of broth, and towards the top of that bowl of broth, you have an isolated taharoves of fly and broth. What's the fly mixed up with? Only with that little bit of liquid that immediately surrounds it. He goes on to say, even literally, the amount of mashke shahaya tofeach al gufo that actually makes its body wet, ubein sampira, it's between its little limbs and its wings, that little bit of liquid, that is where the taharovas lies. Nothing else is part of the mixture. So this fly is mixed up with the broth or the wine that immediately surrounds it, And then all the rest of the wine isn't even part of the Taroves. So what does the Taz say to do? The Taz says, it's ingenious. The Taz says, just get rid of the entire Taroves. Just remove the fly along with the broth that surrounds it, with the wine that surrounds it. Now I'm removing the Taroves entirely, and what's left behind is the Ochel that was always Ochel in the first place. It was never part of the Taroves, so it was never subject to Borer in the first place. It's absolutely ingenious. Can you necessarily read the Taz that way? Others would probably argue. But it's an absolutely brilliant approach to the Taz, and it really creates a much closer connection with his Bar Plugta, with the Maharitz, who argues with him. Where is the Taroves? Only between the fly and that little bit of liquid that actually surrounds it. Therefore, you can remove it. Give you a mashal. What's this like then? This is like saying as follows. Got the jelly bellies on the table, and I can't stand the thought that I might reach into that bowl of jelly beans and I might pull out a buttered popcorn. So what am I going to do? Well, I can either go back trying to separate and bowl, or I could just avoid the whole business. You know, it would be avoiding the whole business. Just take the whole bowl and move it back into the kitchen, so I don't have to look at it, out of sight, out of mind. I'm not bothered by it. When I say that I can't tolerate this bowl of jelly bellies, and I bring it back into the kitchen, is that an act of Borer because of all the food that's left on the table? Well, wait a second. You got a bowl of gummy worms over there. You got a bowl of watermelon over there. You got a bowl of chocolate-covered almonds here. And then you got a bowl of jelly beans. So the jelly beans is a Taroves itself. If I pick up that Taroves and move it into the kitchen, is that itself an act of Borer? Because you left some food on the table and you got rid of one of these dishes? Of course not. It's like a sir, right? It has nothing. It doesn't relate in any which way. There's no yachas between the bowl of jelly beans and anything else on the table. Chazanish says that's what's happening in your cup of wine. That's what the Taz is talking about. What you're removing is the Taroves in its entirety. What you're leaving behind is just the Ochel that was always Ochel and was never mixed up with any of the other stuff. Enormous nafkamina beyond simply talking about flies and wasps falling into your broth and falling into your wine. What's the difference? According to the let's assume that this is that the Mishnah Berurah is indeed arguing with the Chazon Ish. So what's the Mishnah Berurah saying? Mishnah Berurah is saying, oh, you know what the Taz holds? Apparently what the Taz holds is that even if you have a Taroves, what I'm always allowed to do if I want to get rid of the psoles is I'm allowed to remove the psoles as long as I'm removing it with some of the ochel. Why is that mutter? I don't know. Why is that mutter? Because it's not really an act of borer. It's not really psoles mitoch ochel. It's really ochel mitoch ochel. It's ochel with a little bit of psoles in it that you're removing from the ochel. That's not really classically an act of borer. That's really mutter, and that's really acceptable. Chazon Ish says, of course not. Of course you're not allowed to do that. He says at the very beginning that that's his premise. His premise is that cannot be what the Taz is saying, because everybody knows that that is totally usser. You can't just remove psoles as long as you also remove a little bit of ochel. So give you a practical example. I have salad on my plate. And the salad is comprised of romaine lettuce and and tomatoes and cucumbers and olives and the hated mushroom. And try as I did when I scooped the salad from the bowl onto my plate, try to avoid the mushrooms. One of those nasty fungi made its way onto my plate. So what do I do? Do I really need to like pick every piece of lettuce out from around the mushroom because I need to make sure that it's always ochel mitoch psoles? Or can I do something very, very simple? Listen, I got this mound of salad. The mushroom resides on the easternmost bank of the salad. Can I just move my knife slightly to the west of said mushroom and slide over a whole clump of salad to the other side of my plate and go about eating all the remaining salad as I would have in order to enjoy it? Is that mutter or is that usser? Mishnah Berurah would say, mutter. Chazon Ish would say, totally usser. Of course that's usser. That's borer. What have you done? You've removed something that you didn't want in order to leave behind that which you do want. That's borer. Mishnah Berurah says, I didn't remove psoles from ochel. I removed ochel from ochel. It's just that this ochel happened to also contain something that was unwanted. It was a taroves in of itself. It's not usher to remove a taroves from ochel. It's usher to remove psoles from ochel. Huge, huge nafkamina. And you can think of a million of these examples, right? Cutting up chicken. So you have a bone stuck in the middle of chicken. I want to get rid of the bone. I can't get rid of the bone. That's psoles from ochel. Okay, so I'll leave a little bit of chicken on the side of the bone and I'll remove that entire piece. Is that mutter? Mishnah Berura. Yes. Chazon Ish. No. Jelly beans. I see the buttered popcorn. It's lurking over there. I'm not allowed to just flick the buttered popcorn up. Can I scoop up a little group of those jelly beans and set them on the side? So what I'm left with, what's left behind are just the jelly beans that I want to eat. Is that mutter? Mishnah Berura. Yes. Chazon Ish. No.
Would there be a difference then? Let's say a bowl that had no butter popcorn jelly bellies in it, and then I came and I took a bag of butter popcorns and put them on top. So now it's like the fly where it's separate from the other ones, but it's not...
I mean, can we agree, first of all, that you're evil? Why would you? Kind of sadistic thing is that to do? Here I'm enjoying my own Shabbos.
I wouldn't separate his M&M's then.
So you're right.
Well, so then it's like a fly
because it's basically floating, right? It's not really mixed.
Right.
It's not really mixed, right? So we'll really have to get into that about when you have something layered, but presumably not. If they're really easily removed and it's a clear distinct layer that hasn't been mixed with the rest, that's really not a tarovis. I want to get into a potential nafkamina. Please do not take this as halacha l'maisa. I really would like to speak this over with. I haven't seen this inside anywhere really. I hear it like discussed a lot as hak, but I want to just backtrack for 1 second to a previous halacha, one that we actually just saw, and then talk about another potential nafkamina between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. So back in Siftes, we're speaking about when you have the cheesecloth and you have the dregs from the wine. So you can't just take the dregs and put them, that's an actual tarovas already, to put it on top of the cheesecloth and let the wine drip through. That would be an act of genuine borer by using a kli on Shabbos. Let's say it was already there. If it was already there, so then apparently it's mutter to pour water or pour other wine through that clump of dregs in order to increase the flavor of the wine, increase the flavor of the water. The Mishnah Berurah notes, here in Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, that what drips through, when you pour the water through, the wine through, it comes through as Tzululim, wrote Salomar. In other words, Shehu Hashmarim Tzululim, V'amayim Yazuvu Mehem Im Miktas Min Hayayin Shenishar Balu Abo. What happens is, as the water runs through these dregs, the Shmarim, it picks up some of the flavor of the water. V'atam She'ein B'nesinas Mayim Mishum Borer. Why is it not really considered to be Borer? Shemayim Shu Nosein Tzululim Heim. You poured water in the top. V'ein V'hem Davar She'tzarech Levarim Mehem. There's nothing really that you need to separate within the water. So you're just pouring the water through. It happens to pick up a little flavor along the way. You pour it in on one side as water. It comes through on the bottom, and it's picked up all this flavor. You haven't really separated anything out. That's mutter. Sound like anything that we do on a regular basis here in the United States of America, especially?
Brita filter
or making a cup of coffee. I think we drink more coffee than, than most anyway. This is pointed to as a heter for regular drip coffee on Shabbos. Dealing with issues of bishul, that's a whole other situation. But as far as borer goes, it's effectively the same thing. Coffee grounds in the filter, hot water at the top, pouring it through, starts off as clear water without anything that needs to be separated, and when it drips through, it ends up picking up all the flavor of the beans that actually pass through. What would be usser is if you, let's say, had already moistened coffee grounds and you're trying to wring out every last drop, and you take those moist coffee grounds on Shabbos and put them into a filter to let those, you know, few little drips of coffee actually run through, that would be problematic. So, please...
You have to put the coffee before Shabbos to do that, right?
To do what?
You can't put it in the filter on Shabbos.
Not if it's already wet. If it's already wet.
You're saying you can...
Sure.
You might want to just put dry coffee in a filter, put it in, and then pour water through it.
Right. Right, because the coffee itself isn't, meaning the issue that the Mechaber is talking about here is that by putting it into the filter, you're putting a tarovas into the filter in order to have the liquid drip through. Here it's really not a tarovas yet. So at least that would be an acceptable way of making a decent cup of coffee theoretically on Shabbos. You'd have to still discuss issues of bishul. But a potential nafkamina, maybe, between the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah might be using a French press. Why? What happens if you're familiar? What happens? So maybe schita, you might have a schita issue. Again, you might still have the bishul issue when you get to the bottom, potentially. But in theory, what happens with the French press? French ground coffee, hot water, and then there's the plunger. So what does the plunger do? It just ensures that, right, you have all these coffee grounds that are floating through this medium of coffee. And if you start just pouring them off, those grounds are going to end up in your cup and you're going to end up drinking them. So the plunger is there to ensure that they are trapped, that what's trapped beneath that metal disc are the coffee grounds, so that what you're able to pour off from the top is really just the pure coffee.
Are you moving the psyllus, though?
You're moving it down. You're plunging it down towards the bottom.
But it's separating it. You're saying because it's still in the bottom, it's still in the liquid.
So what you're effectively doing is you're taking the coffee grounds that you don't want,
right.
You're moving them down towards the bottom along with some of the liquid.
Would that be a problem? Because I thought the other thing, you're pouring it through, it's stationary. Here you're pushing the psyllus down.
The point of pushing the psoles down, which was excellent alliteration, let's do that one more time. The point of pushing the psoles, pronto, is that you want to ensure that it doesn't end up in your cup. I don't think it makes it cook any more readily.
No, I'm not saying cooking, I'm saying you're moving it.
You're moving it. You're moving it. Meaning, so if I have coffee grounds floating in the top of my mug, how would I get rid of them? Let's assume that they all floated right to the top. How would I remove them? According to the Mishnah Berurah, I scoop them out along with some of the liquid and I dump it. Mm-hmm. So instead of doing that, I'm just trapping them in the bottom of the cup, right? According to the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like that may well be okay. According to the Chazon Ish, what do you mean? That's Boer. What you end up with is this length of coffee that doesn't have any grounds in it. You've just been misaking this coffee, doesn't have any ground. That's Boer. Oh, it's sitting along with some of the liquid coffee in the bottom of the French press. So what do you mean? I only isolated a tarovas. I didn't isolate the psoles exclusively. It was the psoles along with some of the coffee. Because when he says, I don't care, that is Boer. Mishnah Berurah says, no, that may well be exactly what the Taz is really talking about. That as long as it's removed along with some of the ochel, it really would be acceptable. You might get into some other issues with respect to schita, not unlike what happens when you have, let's say, a tea bag that's sitting in the bottom of your cup. Got to be careful about this just in general. We're not really on schita, but you got to be careful about this. As you continue to tip your cup up towards your mouth and you're getting lower and lower to the bottom of the cup, what ends up happening is, effectively, by tipping the cup, gravity is drawing, and you're creating this force. You're drawing that little bit of liquid out of the tea bag. That could potentially be schita if it's really being depressed, let's say, with a spoon, but it could be Boer, right? By the time you get to that little bit of liquid that's just trapped inside of the tea bag, by turning the cup over, you're drawing that little bit of liquid out. You would have the same problem, let's say, with a French press either way, that the grounds that are stuck in the bottom of the bottom of that cylinder, by the time you get to the really bottom and you're pouring it out, so you're now really separating that water out from just the psoles that's left behind. Okay, so let's say you leave enough of it in the bottom so that you're...
Would that actually take the alcohol?
That would be taking ochel from souls, but you'd be using a kli in that case. That's the problem with the tea bag, right? That effectively what you're utilizing is the bag that's covering the tea, or then you're really using the disc in order to hold onto the psoles and just drawing out the ochel. So it would be ochel mitoch psoles, you're right, but it would be ochel mitoch psoles by means of a kli. You might get into some other issues. If it's not the way that it's usually made, so then maybe the whole thing is really klishim lach d'leiser. Klishim lach d'leiser is really mutter if you have no other way to do it. It's best to try to avoid it if it's all possible. Anyway, it's not a psak one way or the other. I'd want to do a little bit more research, but it seems that it would certainly at least touch on this very, very interesting, far-reaching, well beyond the issue of solid and liquid, far-reaching machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish.
Question on the Chazon Ish.
Yeah.
Separating.